Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Hope is Alive, coming to you live this April 26, 2017. Good evening, Ralph.
Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Richard and Ralph.
And I know we have some callers lined up, so I'll be standing by listening in, and I'll let you know when they call in, and we'll hand it over to you.
Thank you, sir.
Good.
Well, I would say the prayers are working because you sound better than you did when you called in over the last hour.
Well, we serve a big God, don't we?
Yeah, I like a little nasal drip is a pretty easy task for him and the power he gave us and the authority. So, welcome, everybody,
Amen.
To Hope is Alive. We want to thank you for joining us this evening, and we're just here to testify to the power of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural works of Jesus and the authority he has granted to us. The Lord Jesus Christ has granted to us that authority that was given in the Great Commission, that we're to go out and cast out demons. And we have that authority of Luke 10:19. Again, that's one, if you haven't got it memorized, get it memorized. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. That says all, not some of the power, but all the power.
And that's the way
Pastor,
I read it.
Yep, that's the way I read it too. Pastor, I want to talk a second about generational curses. Did you get that email I sent to you this week about science showing this? I don't know if you remember this was
no,
the
I didn't.
This is the name of the article. And if they didn't get it, I'll try to send it out to you. How the trauma of life is passed down in sperm, affecting the mental generations of future generations. Scientists have now discovered and have found the children of people who have experienced extreme traumatic events are more likely to develop mental health problems. And new research shows this is because experiencing trauma leads to changes in the male sperm. The changes can cause a man's children to develop bipolar disorder and are so strong they can even influence the man's grandchildren. Now, does that not sound like a generational curse to you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, due to the traumas, sins, and iniquities of our forefathers, you've got all that coming down the lines, it would be an extremely rare person that doesn't have that coming at them. Sad as that is, but it's the facts of life. It's just that nobody's put two and two together to figure out that those are likely spiritual situations, even though there's a certain amount of, I think, cell memory that comes down. But we have authority over all that. You know, yes. We have all power, as I read it, Luke 10:19. Nothing will harm us if we'll speak the word out, if we'll break it. We've got to use it for it to work. So, yeah, that's exactly what it is. And praise God, we're learning this. Amen?
Amen. And the article has gone on to show that they have found it actually, it has actually changed and reprogrammed the trauma, the RNA, which is an important part of the DNA, and I don't quite understand it all. But I do understand this, that we even have the ability to go as far as commanding the DNA to line up its inheritance in Jesus. And what this article showed me was there's just now there's more scientific proof of what we already know about how the spiritual will affect the physical, and of course the physical can affect the spiritual. And it just makes me think about, Esther, the inner healing that you guys practice there, that teaching Charles Kraft's inner healing. I got the name correct on that? Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, right. And the working with people where, and it's actually a pretty amazing thing to see. It was in work with me. I wouldn't say it didn't work so much with me. It did bring to my mind some things that I had not thought about in years that apparently was bothering me because the Holy Spirit would reveal it to me. But you take a person through birth up, and they even go as far as the sperm going to the egg, and now here we are with science proving that the trauma can even affect the sperm. And they take people through that, and they start working them through it. And I've seen as it's been sitting in and watching deliverance sessions where people, even while they're in the womb, were sensing and feeling things. And we know from the Word that the child in the womb can feel because John the Baptist leapt in the womb when Mary came in with Jesus in her belly, and that if it can cause a baby to leap in the womb, then we know that trauma can cause as well too. There has been plenty of studies out there about couples that have played the proper music when their baby was in the womb, and when I was younger, and my son was in the womb, and my daughter, I used to read the Bible to them and speak the word.
Cool.
I was understanding what I was doing. I just knew that vibrations helped, and I couldn't think of any more positive vibration than reading the word. But they recognize their voice in the womb, that trauma can affect him. Because I remember when my son was born, and he'd come out, and we had him, and I remember something, and I said his name, and he turned and looked, and he knew my voice, and he turned and looked. So there are things that can affect. There's things, yeah, it's so neat. Everybody saw it, it's so neat. But these things can affect us in the womb. But the great thing is we don't have to live with this trauma. We don't have to live with this trauma because Jesus gave us the tools. He gave us the power. He gave us the authority. It's just sometimes we don't understand it. We have to be taught. Just like
Ralph, that I learned from Dr. Kraft. I hosted him in here at Oklahoma City a couple of times for ministry and to teach when we were getting our ministry going. And so I'd visit with him and off and on, but I was he was in town, and I was having breakfast with him one morning, and he told me something that he'd learned. And I put it in my book, in fact, in under children's ministry in that chapter. But he had learned this actually from demons. You know, when you interrogate demons enough, you do get a feel for how they're operating and their tactics. just like we try to gather intelligence on the enemy and any kind of a warfare, well, we can do the same thing spiritual. But he had learned, and that's what he shared at breakfast that morning, that a demon had told him that when we dedicate the baby in the womb, and, of course, breaking off generational curses, that the demons cannot, therefore, affect or torment that baby. So I started sharing that when somebody would be pregnant. I'd tell them about that and often lead them through, just have the, ideally, the husband and the wife put their hand on their on her belly and just simply dedicate that child, that baby, to the Lord Jesus the Christ, and breaking off any generational curses. And the end result, it's so amazing, because I would, people in the church, you know, where I get to see them on Sundays, and finally they have the child, and I find out, my gosh, these kids, these babies that have been dedicated, they're wonderful babies. Everything is going just as smooth as can be. They're sleeping through the night quickly. They're finally come off diapers early and all this kind of thing. So I always, when someone's pregnant, I always share that with them. And by the way, I verified that with some demons later when I'd have a head demon up. I interrogated them, and they all confirmed that that was the case, that when we dedicate the baby in the womb, that they can't torment and bother in breaking those curses.
How interesting. That's just, I never really thought about applying it that way. I guess in my ignorance, when my son was there, I was doing something good. So,
well, yeah, you were.
Well, we do know that good music can drive out demons, because we see that in with David playing the harp for Samuel. So why wouldn't a good vibration just speaking the word right to him and declaring the word right to the womb? And we're just so thankful that the power of the word performs itself just by speaking it. And that's why we're here. We're here to testify to that, to teach you. And as I was trying to say a little bit earlier, when Philip was talking to the Ethiopian, and he said, well, how would I know if there isn't someone, well, he says, a preacher to teach me. And that's why we're here. We're here to let people know out there about this supernatural work. We bring people on to testify to it. And you don't need to just go out to Oklahoma City, that you have the tools, right? You have tools laid down right with you in the Word of God. But sometimes we have to be pointed in the right direction, because it is a living Word. We don't always see something. But once we get onto a truth, it seems like it always pops out. But you can get a hold of all the information and tools that Pastor Cox has put many, many years into at deliveranceusa.com. You can order his book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which can be had at Scriptures for America. You can, I believe you can order that offline, or you can call the office number, which is 307-742-7582, and someone's there to answer it. Just leave a message, and Richard will get with you and get that ordered out and get that sent out to you. So, Pastor, I know we got a couple callers coming on here in a few minutes. Is there anything specific that happened this Monday you want to talk about before they come on?
Well, you know, I actually left early. This nasal drip that's been bothering my wife and I, it affected my voice, and where I was not able, I had to ask Jim Waldrop to go ahead and do the door closing prayer, and I went ahead and left. I was not scheduled with anyone, luckily, on this Monday, so I left. We did 10 cases, and we had a minister for each, and it's kind of nice having backup, you know. Yes. Jim was there. I said, Jim, I need you to do the door closing prayer. My voice is giving out. So it was great that we got backup, you know, as we need it in Deliverance Ministries.
Praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, we have our first caller on the line. Harold, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us this evening, Harold.
Yeah. Hi,
blessing.
Harold.
Thank you so much.
Well, Harold, if you could go ahead and share how you first heard about deliverance, and then what experiences you've had, and even how you're now into it. So, well, you got a lot to share there.
Yeah, there is a lot to share, and I have a tendency to be motor mouth, so if I don't pause for a breath, somebody just interrupt me, okay?
You bet.
You know, how I learned about deliverance from the Lord, you know, on September 2nd, 2012. It was in my life, I was in a place that was desperate. You know, I had been praying for the Lord just to kill me for a year and a half because my life was just so messed up. I was 60 years old, nothing was happening. And what happened was one day I just gave myself to the Lord. You know, I called out to the Lord. I called out to them in a heartfelt way. I surrendered to them, and I asked them just to come into my life. I just said, Lord, I just can't do this anymore. I can't handle this. God, please, Lord, just come in. And in that moment, I mean, there literally was a flash of light. The Lord stepped in, and he broke that spirit of death that was on me. It was gone. And I heard in my head a voice that said, get up and get on over down to that church, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're late. Because I had been eyeballing his church for a while and hadn't been in church for a while. When I went over to that church, I stepped in, and the pastor, my pastor Mark over there, you know, he was preaching on Romans 8. And all I know was I kept hearing unconditional love. You know, I kept hearing the things I needed to hear. And that began a three-year journey of things just peeling off of me on deliverance. And I didn't know about deliverance until then. You see, I didn't even know that there were demons. I knew about the devil, but I wasn't really sure. You know, I just thought, hey, everybody talks about the devil. See, my life was all messed up, and I had addictions, and I had all kinds of stuff. I was addicted to pornography. I was addicted to a lot of different things. I wasn't sleeping. There was, you know, my life was all messed up. We've all heard stories about that, and I just figured it wasn't worth moving forward. But the Lord thought otherwise, you know. And that's when I first heard about deliverance. And when I went over to search for a Bible, I felt I was guided to this this Bible, this New King James Version Bible, and it was a warfare Bible. And in that Bible, there was all kinds of commentary from different people about deliverance. So all of a sudden, I was on fire about deliverance. You know, all of a sudden, I was on fire about the Lord and Jesus. I mean, I felt that something had broken off, and I got introduced to my first deliverance ministry in that book because there was a reference to a book in there that I went and I got, and I started reading. I ended up meeting that deliverance minister by phone. I had my first deliverance ministry by telephone, and some things were broken off. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm at this church. I'm in Celebrate Recovery. I'm free of the pornography. I'm free of all these addictions that I had and things that were just bogging me down in my life. And all of a sudden, I'm studying. I'm collecting all these books on deliverance. And so I'm going to cut through the chase to the real story here, and that is, I think the Lord stepped in and guided me towards Everett's ministry. At one time, I was listening, you know, online, and there was a story that came on about some church that had been invaded, some Bible that had been torn up by somebody, and this fellow Everett Cox, you know, who was this fellow that was this exorcist type of person. I said, so what is this? So I learned about Everett's ministry back then. This was back in 2014, okay, November 2014. After I'd been along in my ministry, and you know, for deliverance, and I felt at that time in my heart that I was supposed to go see Everett. I was supposed to get out there. So I struck a relationship with Everett and his ministry partner over there. Stayed in touch for a while, and finally went out there in November 15th of last year, and I met Everett, and he ministered to me personally. And I want to tell you something. Everett, after 34 years, I think you know something about what you're doing. Okay? I had a pastor tell me
does help.
That this door closed, you know. these door closing prayers, they didn't have to be that long, and I shared them Everett's door closing prayer. But can I tell you what happened when I sat down with Everett for ministry and after I had the door closing prayer? And if for anybody who's listening here and wants to know if it's worth it to go visit these folks over there, please go if you can. You want to know if it's worth it to learn the strategies and techniques that the Lord has blessed them to be able to share with others, please go get his book that he has, and I'm sure you'll talk about it later. I went and I got that book. This door-closing prayer is so comprehensive, it closes all the doors, you know. And what was still around and on me, and I hadn't been delivered from all the demons I had. I heard Everett say in one of his talks that the average Christian had 32 demons, you know. I said, wow, I have to check this out some. But when I went there, the one-on-one ministry that I received was so thorough and so complete. And the prayer broke all of these things. I heard earlier somebody saying something about inner healing. The inner healing was just so important to me. You know, whenever it started asking me to go back into my past and think of some things that were hurtful, it could have been hurtful experiences. Oh, man, there were so many of them. And I went back and reviewed them and listened to them. And the simple technique of just offering them up to Jesus, you know, just giving it up to Jesus and letting him take these hurts, yeah. Something that it was just, yeah. I used to think was laughable. I used to think that was laughable. But that strategy, that technique helped me so much. I cannot tell you the difference that made. And the whole time that he kept asking me to go back and do the same thing and to give this situation up to Jesus, I kept feeling relief after relief after relief. Yeah, there was a lot of burping and belching going on. You know, there was all that, and these demons were coming out. But that prayer is comprehensive. The inner healing is essential. The breaking of the soul ties is essential. And when I left that ministry, there's a whole lot, we can just talk for a long time, but when I left and I got back home, and I even had a physical healing, you know, on my leg and started healing, and it's I've had some significant improvement on that leg. The healing, the deliverance was so thorough and so complete, things started happening. For example, today, I'm 65 years old. You know what's happening today? I'm releasing, in fact, we've already released a CD, a music CD. Laura's been giving me songs and music over the years. And we released one called Change Train, you know, and it is songs about deliverance and worship that the Lord's been giving me for years. He was trying to reach me. And all this time that I've been getting this music, I've always suppressed it. I've always thought, well, I can't sing. You know, these songs aren't worth much. The enemy had me worked up so bad that everything I was doing, the value was diminished in my eyes. Lord led me to a beautiful and wonderful lady named Paula, and I'm married to her now. And she started pointing out to me that these songs needed to get out there. The Lord wanted me to publish these songs. And what was not holding me back anymore were the demons, the thoughts. I do not have that thought right now as I speak of unworthiness. I do not have this hesitation about releasing these songs. And I realized as I listened to all of them that it is a music ministry that he wants me to get out there. It's all about deliverance and worship. The Lord gave me a vision one day. And what am I going overboard or can I go on?
No, keep going. You're doing good.
Okay, yes, good. Doing awesome. Keep going.
I'm trying to get it a lot in a short time. The Lord told me one day, take all these books on deliverance that you have, and I have at least 100 of them, box them all up. He showed me a picture of Everett's book on top of the pile called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. And what he told me was that he didn't want everybody to become experts at demons. You know, it wasn't about demonology. It wasn't about that because he gave me a word that, you know, too much analysis can lead to self-paralysis, you know. And people won't take action because they feel like they don't understand all this stuff. It's just so overwhelming. But whatever it is done in his book is he's made this book that's transferable to others. It's real. It's got meat to it. He's got the scriptures that we need. Luke 10:19, you know, I've given you power to trample over snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. Nobody told me that. You know, nobody told me that we had power over the enemy. Oh, my gosh, I wish somebody had shared me that before. Nobody told me that only qualification you needed to have the authority that Jesus gave us was that you needed to be a believer in Christ. I said, well, you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to have a PhD. You just need to be an everyday guy that believes in Christ and takes this authority. And so now, not only do I have a music minister released, but the Lord has led us to a wonderful spirit-filled church right here in my hometown, and the pastor is really open to deliverance, and I gave him a copy of Everett's book, and he's reading it now. And we're planning on doing some deliverance meetings and some teaching that's going to incorporate the music, and it's going to incorporate what Jesus wants us to do every day, and that is to acknowledge that this is everyday Christianity. You know?
Amen.
If we will forgive others, if we will confess all of our sins, if we will renounce the enemy and repent, we can break all the rights of the enemy. And it's as simple as that. You know, when you want to go into battle, you can make a choice. You can say, okay, I'm going to go do battle with this demon with this big sword, and I'm going to bring my sword in there. And yes, the word is a sword, and you will win with that word, but wouldn't it be cool if you can just, before the battle starts, go right up to the demon and say, oh, sorry, you're no longer qualified to be a warrior. You cannot use your sword. You just have to get out. Wow. That's a better way to do battle.
Praise God.
You know, I mean, I don't have to go in there and start bludgeoning demons left and right. I don't have to scream and yell at them and see people rotting all over the floor. No. All you got to do is break all the rights of the demons with a door-closing prayer. And yes, it's long, but use it because it's comprehensive. And then when you do, you've got a bunch of babies lying around here that don't know how to fight. And they may be big and tall and wide, and you can just go up to them and say, get out in Jesus' name. Go to the feet of Jesus. Wow, what power! What power! So, you know, whenever they ask me if I would mind... would like to come on the radio tonight and share some of this, I said, man, I'd love to, because it's life-changing. Literally, the Lord saved my life. I'm clear on some ministries that I have in front of me. First one is to my wife and I. We're a godly couple. We're equally yoked. And I asked for boldness one day. I said, Lord Jesus, give me boldness. Give me boldness. And he brought me Paula. Okay, Paula is very bold in the Lord, you know. And so together we have this ministry, you know, gatewaytoglory ministries.org, and we go forward with salvation, you know, teachings on salvation and deliverance it's just not hard to do. So what's the mission today, based on a very thorough deliverance by Everett and his team out there? Is I have clarity on my mission and my purpose. What before was so unfocused and so blurred, I didn't know I had a ministry. I've got a music ministry. I didn't know, I wasn't clear on my call. Am I an expert on the Bible? No, but I'm not supposed to be. I'm supposed to get out and share my testimony about how the enemy had me, how the Lord rescued me and saved me, and how now all really we need to do is get the word out to others that they don't have to stand around and have these darts thrown at them. They don't have to be pincushions.
Yeah.
They just have to call out Jesus' name. They just have to do the things that are needed to expel these demons in Jesus' name.
The enemy
all
was
that kind of make sense?
The enemy was blocking you, Harold, of course, blocking all those gifts. That's their typical mission, and they're doing it with Christians all over the Christian body. Probably 90% of the Christians around this have got spirits blocking them. That's from where we're coming from, the way it looks. So once you've got those knocked out, Harold, then you're able to go forward. The real you's at the surface without these spirits lying in your head and bothering you and tormenting and hindering. Well, Harold, you being down there in Biloxi, Mississippi, I can see you're going to be setting that area free.
Well, I found a church finally that's willing to accept this a program like this, and we're going to start. We're going to come together, and we're going to start doing some things and start bringing this message out to others. You know, so praise God for that, and I'm definitely looking forward to it.
It wasn't easy to find a church that would receive that kind of thinking, was it?
No, it wasn't. And, you know, we've been in plenty of churches before that didn't either allow the Holy Spirit free reign. But we were led to this mm-hmm. church. And when I met with the pastor, I had a little meeting with him. I shared your book. I shared my testimony. And he said, you probably want to know if we support deliverance teachings. And I said, yes. And he says, yes, we do, you know. And hallelujah. So, wow, hallelujah. You know, here's a place that never, when you go in this, when you step into the church, they show reverence to the Lord, you know, and they let the Holy Spirit move the way He needs to move. So I feel like we're home, you know, and I also feel we don't have to teach people how to be deliverance experts. You know, all they need to know is half a dozen or so scriptures and get out there and start dealing with it. Now, does it mean that you're never going to be bothered again by demons? No. They come around all the time. You know, we have to kick them out all the time. Just get lost in Jesus' name. But at least you know who you are, you know, what authority you have.
Yes.
And in my case, I absolutely needed help, you know, because I'm a big believer in self-deliverance. But in my situation, with all the things I had to go on, all the things you can imagine, that I needed special help. I needed one-on-one. And then when that Bible came out, and was actually pressed on my body, used as a sword, you know, I can feel these demons just leave in my body. And I've never experienced that before, and never, you've been doing this for a long time. I'd say you got your game down.
Well, experience and time helps. I'm actually 39 years into it now, Harold, and it's hard to imagine it's that long, but that's what the calendar says. And we've done the Monday night meetings 33 years. So it's like anything. You keep doing it, you ought to get better at it. And that door-closing prayer I've tweaked over these 39 years. And those, what's in there has come out of experience of dealing with demons. And as I was speaking earlier on the show, that we've learned a lot of their tactics and all, and the demons that are common, et cetera, and their entries. And so that's in that door-closing prayer. And that's in the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. Well, that's awesome, Harold, and that the two of you together, hold on to your hat. High adventure is ahead.
Yeah,
Ralph, do you have anything to share?
Am I allowed ever to mention a website that I have?
Yeah, go ahead.
Uh-huh. I have a website called deliverancewarfare.com, and I put a little video, little testimony on that website, and also a link to the new music CD that was released, and all those songs are deliverance and freedom and worship related. And I didn't know that as I was getting these over the years, but I'm clear on that now. And I know that He wants to go forward not only with the music ministry, but the deliverance ministry in combination. And so I speak very highly of you, Everett, and I send people to you. I try to get people to you in your area as much as possible. Then when we get our program going down here, I'm going to try to I want people to come locally here, you know. We're new at this.
Sure.
But, you know, if you know the basics, you go out there and you can still kick some demon butt, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, anything else to share before we wind up here?
No, I'm good. I'm just thank you so much for the opportunity to come on, and I thank you for your ministry. Praise God, and I hope you have many more years of this. And I also want to bless the radio station and the people that are bringing this program regularly. I think it's really needed, and if there's a way that I can help to promote that in any way, I would love to be able to do that.
Well, thank Harold, we're on every Wednesday night, and I'm sorry I didn't put two to two together. Ashley Cox has sent out an email today with your website, and I did watch your 8-minute video. I haven't watched the music video yet, but I didn't put it 2 and 2 together. The time you're talking, I kept thinking to myself, well, his voice sounds real familiar. Maybe I met him in Oklahoma City, so that would be why. But just a fantastic testimony. I do appreciate you coming on, and good luck in your work, brother.
And Ralph, if I could mention, Harold, you said you have a music ministry. Do you have a CD out?
I do. If you go to cdbaby.com,
okay,
then you type in Change Trains, like just Change, you know, CHANGE Train. That's the name of the album.
Okay.
Or my name, Vondenstein, and I don't mind that going out.
All right, Harold.
And I'll
sure take a look.
It's on the website as well. So thank you so much.
Hey, thank you. We'll take a look.
God bless you all. Have
Thanks
a wonderful
so
evening.
God bless you, Harold.
All righty. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Well, praise God. We've got a man that's on fire for the Lord, who is, as his exact words, he's ready to kick some demon butt. And it sounds like he's going to be setting not just his territory, but maybe even the whole state of Mississippi free. Because that was a good website. I did see it, listen to it. About 30, 40 minutes before the air came on the air prayer meeting tonight. And I kept thinking to myself, his voice sounds real familiar, and now I understand why. So,
yeah.
What a fantastic testimony.
He's going to set Mississippi free. I can see it coming.
Yes, what a fantastic testimony. And that is a common thing that you and I have talked about before in the past, that unfortunately pornography is something that torments many men in this country. And believe it or not, it can even torment a Christian man. And Lord willing, I plan on speaking in our Branson gathering with the young men about the dangers of that, and not only the dangers of it, but how they could be set free with using deliverance tactics. So
very common. I had
prayer.
A problem with it. I had a problem with pornography years ago, and finally got delivered. And one thing I've noticed, the enemy would still try to draw you that way, but that's when you have to kick in your choices. You know, scripture, Deuteronomy 30:19, where we are to choose life or death, blessings or cursings, therefore choose. And so when those temptations come, praise God, we can choose. And it's a better deal to choose life. And that's something that needs to be across always, that make godly choices.
Yes, and something that you have to realize, a lot of people don't realize, I didn't, and it may have been why for so many years I struggled with it and couldn't get past it, was I just kept praying God would take it away. And we have to be active, engaged, because it doesn't say God resists the devil and he'll flee for you. It says you resist the devil. So you have to be engaged in these things. Obviously, there's repentance. But you have to understand the tools to get rid of it. And I would repent, and I just ask, Lord, please take this away. Please take this away. And there would be times, you never know. It would be a month, week, days. It was never the amount of time. All of a sudden, it was like a little voice. Well, it's not going to hurt to take a peek.
Yeah.
And
even in ministry itself, Ralph, when I'm ministering to someone, it's important for them to not be passive. As I'm sitting there face to face with them, working even their problem list, commanding the suspicious spirits that you think, like fear, anger, or depression, but I'm commanding them to come out. And if a person is passive, I often have to tell them, help me here, engage, get mad at these things, tell them to go with me. It's so important. Some people will just want to sit there and have you do all the work. Well, they need to do it. They're the captain of their ship. They need to engage and tell that spirit to get off, to go. And then they will.
But that's just part of the process.
Will.
We've learned they've got to be proactive, the person themselves, and they've got to really mean it and want to be free. I've had spirits say to me well, that wouldn't go, well, the spirit talking out of the person's mouth saying, she wants me. She wants me. And I'd have to call the person back up. Is this true? Do you want this person? I mean, do you want this demon? And, you know, there's some that don't want to change. Well, the demon has a legal right to be there. So they have to be reaching out.
Yes, yes, they have to be engaged. And that self-deliverance that Harold talked about, you can be done. Sometimes that's effective to get people free. And again, you can go to deliveranceusa.com, and all the tools are there for the self-deliverance. There's the videos that will take you through the door-closing prayers, and there's just many, many prayers on there you can do. But sometimes it takes just that humility to go before others. I know that that I had done some self-deliverance before that I came to, before I came out to Oklahoma City, and I did see some relief with it, and I was definitely growing in that knowledge and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes it just takes where you have to go before someone else, because they're going to have the discernment that you may not see. And a lot of times people can see things you cannot see, and it's just sometimes it's a matter of humbling ourselves and going. And as in Harold's case, he had more than one deliverance. You have to go through more than one deliverance. So sometimes it takes a deep cleaning to go through. Obviously, there are people who have been set free through one deliverance session. But the maintenance has to be there. There's keys to stand free. You hand that hand out on the yellow piece of paper. Those keys must be followed. And those keys are, of course, you have to read the word, engage into it, understand it, study it. You have to constantly repent from your sins. Here I am right here. You got to pray. Talk with God continually. Worship. Thank God for what he's done. Praise him or who he is. Honor him and worship him. John 4:22-24. Have Christian fellowship. That is so important. Have good, godly fellowship. The scripture is true. A little leaven, the whole loaf. And they say that one bad apple will spoil the whole bunch, which is true. If you get around a rotten person, you're going to have rotten fellowship.
If you're coming out of some kind of group, like you've been associating with an alcohol group or a drug group, well, it's time to change your groups, and it's time to get Christian fellowship. You're not going to maintain your freedom if you keep mixing with those same people.
Yes, you know, there's worked in the past with some 12-step programs and things, and it's one of the things they tell you, especially when the alcoholic wants to quit drinking, you can't be hanging out with other drinkers. Same thing, if you're having trouble with addictions, you got to stay away from people that would feed those addictions. If you're having a problem with pornography, you've got to stay away from the places that would have it, strip clubs, the internet, dirty magazines, videos, all these things. So that's just important, having good Christian fellowship. And then there's keep the doors closed, resist the devil, speaking the word, James 4:7. Strengthen your spirit word by confessing and declaring the positives, the word of God, and declaring the promises of God. And that would be the I Ams. The I Am confessional has been there with our ministry for many, many years. And I'm going to guess that you've been practicing the I Ams for quite some time, which is really important to just
there's
speak
something
out the
supernatural,
I Am.
Something supernatural about saying those scriptures out loud, and it goes into your spirit, man. And you know, when you say a scripture out loud, it goes forth to perform itself all around you. It goes forth into the spirit world. It's a supernatural step.
Amen. And then the last one, make godly choices, which Pastor already talked about. Choose this day who you will serve, Deuteronomy 3:19, which is what he quoted. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, which is John 8:32. So it isn't just, okay, I'm going to go in for deliverance, I'm all done, and then I can just go back out and be the way that I was. I'm going to tell you, if you go through it, with my experience, you don't want to be that person when you come in. I did not want to be the person. I did not want to experience the things I was experiencing, the torment that I had. I didn't want it anymore. So when I was coming, expecting big things. And I know that from talking with Pastor, there's a lot of people that come in there because of that, and some people come in there because they're kind of dragged in there and don't know what to expect. But I would say the vast majority of people that come in there were looking for some sort of relief.
Yes, and those are the ones we can help. You know, if somebody's brought, pressured to come, and they don't really want to be there, with the exception of being young children who are still under the spiritual authority of the parents. But as you get on up into the teenage bracket, where they're really approaching adulthood and they're rebellious, they don't want to change drugs or whatever it is, it's very difficult to do anything because we're entities of free choice, and we've got to choose again, just like, again, that Deuteronomy 30:19, we've got to choose life. But some people choose the other road. Strange as it is, they have to get tormented enough to finally come around the circle and reach out. And then when people say, I'm tired of this torment, I'm tired of the harassment, somebody help me, then we can take them by the hand and go through the steps, get them to the goal line.
Amen. Amen. And something that I had talked about someone this week with, talked about a little bit, was forgiveness. It seems like the Lord just keeps leading me to more and more people who are having trouble with forgiveness. And a lot of times, if you just listen to people's conversations and let them talk, you'll key in if they're struggling with something. I had a customer this week that happened to mention something about going through a rough divorce. And I came out and I went out and took care of her, or serviced her stuff, and then came back in. And the Lord had told me that the Holy Spirit prompted me to talk to her about it. And I can tell this is going to be someone who's really, really going to struggle with the forgiveness. But I did give her some scriptures to read. I gave her Matthew 18. And most importantly, I said, memorize this, Luke 10:19. So Matthew 18 obviously talks about unforgiveness and the need to forgive. But as I'm looking here in your yellow handout that came out, some of the things you can do, examples of blessings, when there's someone that you're struggling with maybe a little forgiveness issues, just to say things to them, and you can bless them. The simplest thing is to say, I bless John and I forgive John, or I bless Sue and I forgive Sue. Or even vice versa.
Yes.
But this example of the blessings here that Pastor gives us a handout is just awesome. You can say, I bless Sue. And then there's just a number of things you can do with everywhere she goes, everything she does, with my love, with my respect, with divine healing and well-being, and just on and on. And when you speak these things, your words have action, just like when God did not think the world in existence, he spoke it into existence. And we can actually speak the forgiveness into existence by saying, I forgive them. I forgive them.
It's more of the supernatural.
It is.
When you do those things. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to guess it's about 10 minutes to go. Our next caller's not calling in tonight.
Doesn't look like it, does it?
Doesn't look like it. I was kind of looking forward to listening to him. Obviously, something came up and he couldn't make it. The invitation's still out there. I was looking forward to hearing his testimony, but that's okay. We can talk more about deliverance here, and we didn't get a chance because Harold came on. Was there anything that you heard about from last Wednesday, or maybe throughout the week that you had dealt with that you want to talk about?
Well, one thing I thought I would mention, Ralph, is that
Hey guys, we have Francis on the line now, so we'll welcome him on.
Welcome
to the program, Francis.
Hi, Francis.
It's good to be on the air. It's my first time on the air ever.
Francis,
yeah.
you want to hold the phone a little further away from your mouth just so it doesn't get too loud.
How about now?
That's better.
Yeah, yeah, that was perfect. Well, we got about 10 minutes left here, Francis. If I know you were working late, but if you could give a quick summary of your background and how you learned about deliverance and anything you feel led to share in this 10 minutes.
Thank you. I left a lot of things in my past that were very destructive. Family, friends, they didn't follow the faith as well as I had thought, and I had to leave. And while I was doing so, along the way, I met some people, and, well, the right person, her name was Allison, and I met her here, and she saw that there was something that was up with me, and I guess the work I was doing, I had to stop, just focus on what was important, and I was looking for faith, I had questions, I had so many things, and the first place that I went to was Deliverance Ministries, and you were the person you had next to you was very supportive, and it was like a radical crash course in religion and faith for me. Everything just opened up, and it was just so positive. Nothing like a church that I had ever experienced before in my life. This was so hands-on and evasive that it made me shake with just everything. And after I was done with it all, it really just made me feel a heck of a lot better. I felt good. So,
well, praise God.
That was it.
Maybe you could share, too, your early background, Francis, on your parents and grandparents. You had kind of tough start there.
Well, I first walked in, and he explained to me everything that this man has been through, and literally, I thought I had it bad, but everything that this man has been through, it dropped me to where I focused how, if I see myself in the darkest hole, I can get out of it if I just apply these certain steps to doing so. I read everything and the books, yes. And still, how you were able to overcome the losing a daughter, someone that you is hard. I suffered from infidelity with my marriage, and I had, it wasn't even as hard as what I can imagine losing a real part of you was. And for me, I opened up my eyes and my heart as much as I could, which was full to the extent, and I wanted to learn as much as I could. So when I wrote down everything that I felt that I was being plagued by or tormented by, it just made it so, like, open and shut. How you were able to name the spirits and how you were able to name certain things that people could possibly put onto you. And yeah, in my heart, I believe it's very real, because I would not have felt as good as I did walking out of this man's church, that ministry that we had. We rent for a week or each week, and it's not very many people that go, but the people that do go there, my God, they are just such a wonderful place. I've seen
Francis
before, other places that do believe that they're doing something, but they're not. They're not helping. This man is actually helping. He's making a difference.
Francis,
he made a difference with
Francis,
me. So when he asked
you
to go on the radio right now and say a few kind words to him, I'm just overjoyed,
Francis,
to
if you
be able
share...
to do that. And he spent literally over 7 hours just with me. And everyone else that was there was just benefiting from the entire work, the good works that
Francis, if you can share how
ministry,
you had a tough start.
The founder, everything
Francis,
he's doing. And I stand behind him 100%. I work at Dollar General right now, and my life, for the most part, it's hard. It is very hard for me, but, you know, I like that. because not anything that comes easy, it's just not worth doing.
That's true. Hey, Francis, we've only got a couple minutes left, and about 4 minutes, I think Pastor Cox was wanting you to kind of share how your personal deliverance, if you can, in just a few minutes.
Yeah, well, Francis, if you could tell how you had such an early start in a family into witchcraft and all, if you could tell about that, how you finally recognized it was evil.
I was able to recognize it was evil because I felt that I felt like there were things that were around me that they shouldn't be, and they were put there from family, friends, anyone who was close to me. They really did such a disservice. So I was looking for exactly what it was called. It was a radical exorcism. It was something like that, and I didn't get it from on TV like they show the Catholic Church. Hey, I Googled it. I figured it couldn't hurt any. So I tried it, and it worked. I felt good. You know, I just felt good. There's so many different religions. There's so many beautiful things in this world. And for me, I needed a timeout. I needed something that could just make it so that way, at least, even though, you sin, everybody does, me too. It's what we do, but sometimes it's nice to be prayed over. It's nice to have the Holy Spirit to come upon you like that. And believe me,
yes,
my deliverance, it was beautiful. It really was. It was awakening. And
what have you seen a lot of changes in your life? Have you seen a lot of changes?
Too many positive ones. I went to the library recently. And back home, I couldn't find work anywhere. And that's with a degree, and that's with just going to the same job every day. And, you know, it just didn't work out for a bunch of reasons. But I come here, Oklahoma, and they treated me like family. But the first thing I did before anything, I saw this man in this church. And ever since my deliverance, my life has been going up. Francis DeCal has been rocking Oklahoma. And it's all thanks to just choosing the right path. And I believe in my heart that going through the deliverance ministries, it's definitely been a privilege, I have to say. My deliverance has been a privilege. And it's something I'm glad I did. At 30 years old, I'm glad I did.
Praise God. I hate to cut you short, Francis, and I do appreciate you calling in tonight, but we're getting to the point where we're about out of time. We just seem to maybe have a little mix-up. We got behind. I want you to know that the invitation is out there to come on the air again, and when you have a little more time and get your thoughts together and not feel so rushed. But we do appreciate you coming on. We'll have Pastor Cox get in touch with you and set up another time that maybe you can come on and give your testimony with the proper amount of time. But we are just there, about out of time. Another Wednesday has gone past. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and just going to say good night to you, Pastor. Good night, Francis, and good night, Richard.
Yes, good night, Francis. Thanks for calling.
Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case. 'Cause somehow every now and then the whole world just comes crashing till it seems like every breath of hope has died. But hope is alive, hope lives on, hope's not dead and hope's not gone, just like a heart that deep